Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, and for some completely unknown reason, you have found yourself listening to Goes Without Saying with Seffy and Wing. Hi Wing.
Congratulations everyone. Hi Seffy. We get heavy in this episode, guys. We get quite deep, so be prepared for that is all I'll say.
I think we get quite real in this one, in that we kind of... It's good. You'll see what happens. We're talking about friendship, loneliness.
It's authentic. It's deep. It's real. All those buzzwords that I personally would be looking for. I would feel quite fulfilled in this.
And all the things that would turn me away from a podcast and think, self-indulgent, okay, no.
Yeah. We're going to make you confront some questions within yourself, the darkness of your heart and your soul.
It's big darkness vibes, and that is really stunning. We're talking about friendship, loneliness, fake friends, and something else. I can't remember what the other word was that we used in our little description.
Isolation.
Oh, that's quite good because it plays on lockdown.
Exactly. Yeah. See what we did there. Nice.
Yeah. We're clever. Because people on Apple Podcasts will be typing in isolation. This will be coming to the top of the list. We're clever. We're marketing.
There we go. Well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did, even though it's painful.
Enjoy. So one that I wanted to start with, because I feel like this is so common and I've seen people make this mistake and I probably have made this mistake, and it's just fucking huge and just leads to loneliness, which we're not fucking having. So someone wrote in saying, I know I have friends, but sometimes I have this inescapable loneliness because when I'm overwhelmed, I forget to reach out and then I'm stuck wondering why no one texts first. And I just think this is such a telltale sign of people getting stuck in this cycle of like, oh my God, no one's texting me first. And then also you never reach out. You wonder why no one else reaches out to you. And then you almost set this rule for yourself that's like, okay, well, I'm never texting this person first. And I'll just like wait and see if they ever text me. And if they never text me, then they never cared. But actually you're just torturing yourself endlessly because they do care and you care. So fucking text them.
That's definitely a big thing at the moment, isn't it? Like when you, it's like viral tweets, like every single, like kind of every 10 viral tweets, there's one that says, I'm not texting anyone anymore. And then I never heard anything. And that's when I knew I had, I give more in my friendships than everyone else, blah, blah, blah.
It's so self-indulgent.
But do you do that?
I think I've definitely done it before.
Do you do it currently?
No, because I know that it's toxic. It's quite a mad behavior to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to, if I want an outcome, I'm just going to do nothing and they will make that happen for me, but I have no part in it. And that proves that then they care about me. It doesn't prove anything.
You know what it reminds me of, which this is really like stupid, random, crazy niche story.
Is it from Harry Potter?
No, it's when I was like kind of 6 years old, like in primary school.
Oh, wow.
Really just random. You know when you remember weird things, but then when you become like an adult, you look back on them and you can put them into like real world perspective and you're like, shit, okay, that was weird.
Yeah, God, I was mad.
Yeah, I don't know what had happened. I must have like fallen over. I must have like knocked into someone. Someone like knocked into me, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I was a very well-mannered child. And I would be like, oh, please, thank you, sorry, etc., etc. I had a bit of a social experiment, which does kind of make sense. But I was like, let me just pace the playground. Bit of a Dumbledore. Let me just pace.
He's in his office pacing.
Yeah, he does that often. He does that a lot. I was like, let me walk from this part of the playground, one side of the tarmac, to the other.
You must have looked mad.
Yeah, and I'm just gonna walk in a straight line and I'll just see how many people bump into me, even though they can see me coming. This was my kind of
what the hell,
my kind of weird Derren Brown moment that I was like, I thought I was gonna kind of come to the conclusions of like kind of civility and humanity.
You're like, if people care about me, they will.
Yeah, exactly. And I think kind of, I don't know, like probably two people bumped into me and didn't really think much of it, and that was that.
What do you mean bumped in? Like, as in they start a conversation with you?
Well, just imagine, I just thought I'm going to walk from A to B and not meander. I'm not going to move out of the way for anyone. If anything, I'm the arsehole. I'm walking in a straight line.
Up and down. That must have looked at, yeah. You're honestly pacing widths, lengths of the field.
And all of the kind of TAs, all of the like playground assistants, the teachers were thinking, is she all right? And I wasn't all right. I was bizarre.
Yeah, probably with like a really somber, serious facial expression. Yes. Like, this is a mission.
Absolutely.
Like, this is the most serious.
If I could have had my Walkman on me playing kind of Lamar or kind of Girls Aloud, fucking whatever that one sad song was on their What Will the Neighbours Say album, for example.
Oh my God.
I would have had that playing. But isn't it funny that we just wait for the world to happen to us?
And you think that that's such a clever test, and I think people still do that now, in the metaphorical sense of walking up and down your school field and hoping, oh my God, people, if people care about me, they will bump into me. And then if they don't...
If people are good people, this is my kind of test.
And also it's like, you'll find the evidence for whatever. So say that people bump into you. It's like, oh, well, only two people bumped into me. And if no one bumped into you, it's world ending. It's like, oh my God, no one cares about me. But if a few people did, it doesn't really mean anything.
No, the thing was that people... I was hoping, my kind of, what's it called, like my hypothesis was like, good people will move out of the way and bad, like ill-mannered people will not move out of the way. Basically, I'm a psychopath. Never answer any of the polls that I do on the story because God knows what I'm collecting this data for. Like, I'm just judging.
Oh, I see. I thought it was like, okay, so people will talk to me. No, you wanted to see if people will move for you.
Yes.
Oh, you're really mad. You're really insane.
It's kind of Jesus Christ. I'm kind of breaking the ocean. I'm walking on water.
Yeah, you're kind of parting the Red Sea.
exactly that. Basically, first of all, don't do that, and second of all, don't wait for people to text you first. If you want to talk to someone, talk to them.
I think it's one of the most self-flagellating, self-torturing behaviors that we do, in that it's like, we want to talk to someone. There's a text that needs to be sent. You're thinking, okay, I'm feeling lonely, I feel like I've got no friends, I've got some friends here that I could talk to, and you think, but they haven't texted me in a while. And it's like, yeah, because they're not thinking about you in the same way, that because you're obsessing,
kind of. Well, they've got shit going on too.
This is what I mean. Yeah.
And going back to that girl's message, which also, this wasn't what that person was saying, but suddenly I've taken it to the playground when I was 6 years old and made it about like testing people. But I think everyone is in that kind of, or gets in, or most people get into that rut of like, I haven't thought about anyone but myself, and yet been so consumed by thinking about, like, worrying about people and blah blah blah. It's not that the thoughts aren't there and the intention to text and connect is there, but actually doing it in this big 2020 when everything is so demanding, like life feels very demanding.
You almost center yourself in that way, that you think, oh my God, if no one has texted me, it's because that they don't like me, blah, blah, blah. And it's not even anything to do with you. People haven't texted you for so many reasons, that they've been rushing about or they're depressed or anything. There's just things going on.
And 99% of them aren't about you.
Yeah, to be honest, probably none of it is about what kind of friend or how high you rank in their life. It's sometimes just difficult to get to a phone. And there's that idea that people that don't make an effort, people that don't reach out to you, fuck them. Like, they don't matter. And it's like, actually, you're really centering yourself. And I do think there is truth in that, if it's not a balanced relationship, yeah, it can be really difficult, but things do give and take. We said in another episode about like diamonding, if you be prepared to diamond, Lucy Sheridan, our queen's saying. And it's the idea that you will sort of ebb and flow with your friends, you will move further apart and then you'll come together. Imagine a diamond. Draw a diamond with your hands, you'll go away, then you'll come together.
Plumb bob, if you will.
Yes, if you will. And I think that is stunning. Like, you're not always going to be, sometimes the give and take will not be completely equal. Sometimes it'll be more from one person, sometimes it'll be less from the other person. And it's fine, as long as there is balance there.
Do you think, I was going to ask you, how balanced are your friendships? And I thought, let me take it further. Do you think our friendship, mine and your friendship, is balanced?
I knew you were going to do this.
You could see the guy in the test goes across my face. I get excited.
It's like the equivalent of you walking across. Will she move out of the way? Will she stand there? I would totally be the person that stands there and doesn't move, though.
Yeah, you would.
I bet, what are you doing?
If anything, you'd walk off to all your friends and be like, what the fuck is that girl doing? Fucking freak.
I'd go, did you just fucking see that girl just walk into me? Psycho. I actually probably would just stay there and be like, are you all right? Like, kind of.
You'd stay there to prove a point. Well, I'm not moving.
It would turn into a competition. Who moves first? Who can stay there for longer?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, do you think our friendship is balanced?
Do I think we're balanced? Yeah, I think we're pretty balanced. Do you?
Yeah, but where do you think we're not balanced? Go on. Spit it out.
Let me think.
We're all friends here. Spill the beans.
I'm really trying to think.
By the way, my dog is on my lap, so if you hear snoring, it's not me.
It's little Ozzy.
Even though I am tired, it's my dog. I just can't bear to get rid. Obviously not get rid of him. I just mean put him in a different room, not put him down.
Put him down is what I heard that. Don't put him down, please. Do I think we're balanced? I think we're balanced in the way that there are definitely moments where one of us needs the other one more than the other one, in that when one of us is struggling, they'll be the one sort of crying on the phone. And if the other one's struggling, they'll be the one kind of crying on the phone. There'll be times when it's out of balance, but it's kind of balanced, it's harmonious.
If we're kind of the scales. Yeah,
if we're going to do a Libra thing, there is balance there. I don't know. Am I talking shit? What about you?
No, but how do you think we're not balanced? Just in the way that we come from different perspectives often. Like, it's rare that, I think we've said this before, it's rare that Seffi and I will be in the same, like, mood, in the sense that I'll be feeling so fucking melancholy and Seffi will be really manic and then we kind of level each other out.
And then my high will come crashing down and you'll be level.
Yeah, and I'll be trying to kind of be logical with you.
I remember something that your boyfriend once said about us, which I think is so fucking true. And this is what I mean by we're imbalance, in that we're not always coming from the same energy.
Our behaviours are different. Our perspectives are the same, but our actions can be really different.
Or the way that our kind of impulses, like your impulse is to be very slow, my impulse is to be very fast. And I think both are weird and we need to, and that creates balance.
Yeah.
Both are very not productive, and together we come together to create something. But I think your boyfriend said something when he saw us at a talk. He was like, when you're up here, she's down here, and when she's up there, you're down there. And we just kind of level each other out, and somehow our energies kind of balance in some weird kind of way.
Yeah.
I think we're balanced in that way, in that we're very similar but very different at the same time. Do you think we're balanced?
Yeah, I do. I just thought maybe you had something to say.
You made me go on this whole, when I'm up here, you're down here, just to get a yes back. Are you mad? What do you take me for?
It's kind of girlfriend sends paragraphs and paragraphs and get a question mark back. Yeah, no,
thumbs up.
Completely agree.
You just liked my response.
Yeah, I did. Double tap, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that worked.
I'm like, prepare to diamond.
No, but it's true. We do. Yeah, Seffi is very like, well, there's just lots of ways that we're different. Like, Seffi is very turbo and I'll come in with the patience and make you rethink something. And we just, I'd come and drain your energy all the time. Like, we... So I asked on the stories, what makes you feel lonely? Because I just thought, I want to trigger you, obviously. I'm just here to attack.
Yeah, I love this.
At all times. And I just loved this that somebody said. They said, not being anyone's quote-unquote best friend or number one priority.
Yeah.
And I thought that was such a universal thing, especially when you're younger. I feel like, again, like, everyone put a tweet out that was like, I'm always second best.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never anyone's, like, first choice.
I'm never anyone's priority.
Yeah, yeah.
With that kind of thought that everybody has.
I know what you're going to say, yeah.
I don't know if you do. I think it's that you find the evidence for what you choose to believe.
Oh, okay.
One of our classic things is that everyone will always feel that they're never anyone's whole priority, but... who do you think you are? You should be your own priority. I know it's so fucking classic, so stupid, and all of these things, and everyone's rolling their fucking eyes, but you will never be anyone's first priority, because we've literally evolved to prioritize self-preservation at all times, that you're never going to be someone's first priority, because it will either be them or their children. This shit's biological, guys.
It's so true. That's not what I thought you were going to say, but that is genius and really true. But I thought you were going to say it's all ego anyway.
Yeah, it is all ego.
Why do you need to claim to be somebody's priority? That doesn't mean anything. And like, why should you be?
Yeah, it's a really unhealthy amount of pressure to put on someone. Imagine if I said to you,
I need you to be my number one.
Yeah, I need to be your absolute number one priority. It's like, well, actually, no, my health is my first priority. Like, it's kind of like, I've actually got a lot on right now.
Yeah,
I also had a whole moment yesterday, this actually really relates. I mean, considering that we're talking about loneliness, I'm in a place right now, I'm in Portugal.
You're very isolated right now.
Very isolated place, but I think it would be a place where loneliness would potentially thrive. I'm actually, we did do an episode before about loneliness, and I actually just think I'm just not someone that is prone to that feeling when I'm on my own, but I am definitely in groups of people that I don't like. But I had a moment where I was dancing around my room, quite a crazy moment, listening to some music, real dancing.
I make a point of doing that every single day, by the way.
Yeah, I do it loads. It's actually so healthy. And I had also had some of my little weed. I have my sort of weed potion.
Yeah, some amazing concoction. I actually kind of want you to bring some back.
I really want to bring it back, but I obviously can't bring it on the plane, but it is so good.
The bum hole? Would you do that for me? How balanced is our relationship? I'd do it for you. No, I'm joking, I wouldn't.
Would I go to a Portuguese jail for you? I don't know. But it's kind of a weed tincture, a potion that was brewed specially for me, and I had some of that, and I was really dancing around my room, and I was just thinking,
that's quite mad.
Yeah, really mad. Yeah. Is this relatable, guys? Is this relatable, the relatable content you wanted?
Relatable content.
I wasn't dancing, but I was having a little, you know,
you were grooving around.
I was honestly grooving,
having a groove.
When I say dancing, I don't mean I was doing the Macarena in my room. I mean, I was just, you know, getting on with my business, having a... I was like, hey, Macarena, hey. I mean, I was just, you know, tidying up, doing a little dance.
You were doing the Work This Out High School Musical 2 choreography.
How do we get from the top of the world to the bottom of the heap?
Ding, 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 ding.
Dum, 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 dum. Bing. A little bit of butter, a little bit of sugar. No, I just like tidying up, blah, blah, blah. And I was really just thinking, you have got to be your own best friend. Really nuts. But I was really like in my mind thinking, you cannot be waiting for like all this stuff, and you've got to do this with someone, you've got to do this. No, you actually have just got to cut the crap and be your own person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think so much of the suffering in life is the search for like, oh my god, well, I can share this with this, and I can share that, and then I can do all of these things. Actually, no, fuck that, scrap that. And you actually have just got to be your number one gal.
So true. Yeah, you literally have to be, otherwise you'll just succumb to doing what the world wanted you to do.
Yeah.
And I do think so much of what we chat about, and so much of what we chat about on here, is the kind of unlearning process that comes with realizing that you've spent a lot of time dumbing yourself down, making yourself smaller, making yourself quieter in order to what? Fit in. And still no one liked you. It didn't work. So you may as well do what the fuck you want.
Yeah.
It's that classic thing, like, no matter what you do, people are gonna have something to say about you, so you may as well just do whatever you feel like.
It seems so simple, like, you hear it from a young age, you've got to be your own best friend, you've got to be your own person, like, you've got to rely on yourself or whatever. It seems so simple, but I think it took the weed potion for me to realise, for it to really hit heavy. And now I just think about it, it's not really that big a revelation, because I've always...
It took some Kenny Ortega choreography to get it out of you.
Like, I've always actually had that ideology anyway, but it really hit in the way that it's like, fuck, this is a scam. This whole thing is a fucking scam. You've really only got yourself, and no matter what kind of trauma and shit and bad situations that get thrown at you, you're actually just in there. Like, the voice that's in there, the skin that you're in, is always there, unless you die and then no one's there. It sounds like I'm deep in the potion right now.
She's under the influence.
But I was just really thinking, it's like, actually, fuck, because I knew we were talking about loneliness, and it's just like, actually, loneliness is a fucking scam, because you're actually not alone. There's always someone in there, your multiple personalities that I have, you're always in there.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for most of us, the person who's always in there is being so hard on ourselves, is constantly being like, you're no one's priority.
Yeah, that's the problem.
No one's messaging you. Why are you isolating yourself? Blah, 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 blah. The constant...
Your inner critic.
Yeah, your inner critic is just constantly kind of berating yourself.
And your inner self is sometimes a fucking asshole.
Absolutely.
But that's what I mean by be your own best friend, in that I would never speak about you the way I speak about myself. It's the thing of, if I said to you, you're not working hard enough, you're a little cunt, I would...
Yeah. You're looking rough today.
You're looking fucking rank. Yeah. I would just never...
Yeah.
But the way you speak about yourself, it's like, actually, you've got to cut the crap. You've got to cut the crap and just get on with who you are.
Yeah. Sorry, Ozzy has really come up to the microphone. He like really wants to pipe up. He's got something to say.
And now this is a message directly from Ozzy.
To all the chihuahuas out there.
So in terms of kind of me saying I'm crazy, dancing around my room or whatever, doing the Macarena in my room, I do think so much of the loneliness that people experience and people were saying on the stories comes from like a sense of not feeling whole and not feeling at peace with yourself and kind of like you can have fun with yourself. And you saying that you dance around your room, like what are some ways that you kind of think people can you know, experience kind of fun with themselves? I feel like people don't have fun with themselves at all.
I feel like this is pointing to quite a sexual
I don't mean that. I mean, people don't spend time with themselves.
They don't know what to do with themselves.
It's like they just need something else.
Yeah,
there.
So true. I do think dancing around your room is a good one. I think listening to a podcast is a good one, actually. And I'm not just...
Yeah, same.
That's like, that is a really shameless plug.
No, I completely agree, though.
The amount of people that send us those memes that are like, me talking to all my friends, but really it's the podcast that I listen to every week, is so fucking true. And I think if you have, not necessarily us, but someone... The problem is I asked on the story, does social media make you feel more or less lonely?
Yeah, they said it makes them feel worse.
And I haven't actually checked.
But I think that's mainstream social media.
Yeah. I think when you find people online that you... I'm doing this thing really consciously now where if I follow someone, I really think, like on Instagram specifically, if I find someone and I think, all right, I'm going to follow you, or like, okay, I want to keep you on my radar for whatever reason, I'm inspired by you, I think you look good, I think you talk about interesting things, blah, 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 blah. I'm really consciously thinking, am I jealous of you? Before I hit follow, am I jealous of you?
I love that.
Am I inspired by you? Am I jealous of you? Because if I'm jealous of you, I'm not hitting follow and I'm going to forget your username and you'll disappear into the void and I'll never return to you.
You've got to be gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Until I'm not jealous of you any longer. But I think that there are so many people, I feel like I'm at a good place with social media now where I have like kind of a handful of people, not a lot of people, like influencers, whatever, that I feel really connected to in a way that makes me feel like me. So I hope that we are that for some of you.
Yeah. The way that I view social media is that all these people kind of represent different facets of myself or different facets that I would like to be more like or that I bleed into in some way.
Lean into.
Yeah. And I think that that's how it should be used, in that we might sort of symbolise some kind of thing, some sort of facet of humanity that people are like wanting to get a bit more out of or can align themselves with. That's why you should follow, not because we make you feel bad in any way.
We might be triggering people, which would be awful, but...
We do roast them in every
every chance we get.
We're like, you are lonely.
but and lots of different things. But I also think I could look at, if I was in a lonely point in my life, I could look at Seffy and Wing or X, Y, and Z, people online, and think, God, I wish I had that, or I wish, you know, I'm feeling lonely and I'm not talking to anyone in the way that we are talking right now for an hour and it's very intense. It's funny because I was gonna say, like, since the last time that we touched on loneliness, I feel like I feel quite differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe over lockdown or just as I get older, just in life, I feel like at the moment, I find myself more often than before looking around my life and feeling like there are lots of parts of me that aren't reflected in the people that I'm surrounded with. Do you get what I mean? And so it's like, yeah, I do feel lonely in that way, in the sense that there are so many things that I am or that I think about or that take up my consciousness and that I would love to, I don't know, have in my life. When I look around at the people that I'm surrounded, I have amazing people.
You do. You have one really amazing person.
One in particular. My boyfriend. My dog.
Was he?
And someone else said, let me find the message. I loved this one in particular because I love that they said, this is going to sound incredibly cocky, but I really think I outgrew a lot of my friends. I don't even think I'm at a point where I'm outgrowing my friends, but just in a sense that, and lots of you were saying similar things, is just, I think I'm someone that other people think that they are connecting with me, but I am quite unimpressed by them, yeah. Which is horrible.
No, it's not though.
But I think I had a bit of a shock. For example, when I went to uni, I thought I would meet loads of people that kind of thought like me and were interested in things like me, and I just kind of felt like I met the majority of people I met at uni were fucking assholes. I honestly think 80% of, maybe even more, yeah. 80% of people were, and I think it just put things into perspective.
I think it's because there's such a privilege at uni.
Yeah, exactly. And I just don't really, I don't know if I've said before on the podcast, but I kind of feel like I kind of, in my past life, I was a real kind of peasantry, like kind of I had 10 children and I had to feed than bowls of brown, and like no matter what privileges I've had and anything, like no matter what I will continue to have, I just find that life. I think the people that I've seen that have the most money have the least friendships and
the most empty lives.
Yeah, they have really empty lives, and I just find that really sad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And I just think I'm at a point in life where I'm thinking, I'm kind of looking around like, I kind of want you lot, you listening. I want to look around my life and see you, but I can't. I have to get to you on my phone. Do you get what I mean, Seffi?
Completely. Yeah, I completely get that. I definitely think loneliness is more nuanced than, if you're happy within yourself, then you're happy in life, then you're endlessly abundant. I don't think that is...
I've never been happier in myself.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the hardest things is that I agree that things have completely changed since we recorded our last episode on loneliness, is that one of the saddest things is that the more you become yourself, often the less you have around you. Because the less people not even can keep up, but the less people have the same beliefs as you, because the more you keep learning and learning, the same people aren't learning at the same pace, or they're learning different things.
Yeah, but it's kind of Aaron Burr. It's kind of every proclamation guarantees free ammunition for your enemies. It's kind of why Taylor Swift doesn't want to speak out about politics, because you're going to alienate half of your audience, even though that half of your audience are fucking assholes and you wouldn't want them anyway. The more you speak out about things that you believe in, or the more you become, I guess, closer to who you are, yeah, you're niching down and you're getting to people who are really connected to you, but you lose a lot in the process.
And the more people hate you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. That's why I liked that person's message, because she said, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but also like I'm outgrowing people. And I don't think it is arrogant at all, because I think the people that you think you're outgrowing probably also think they're outgrowing you.
Absolutely. Or they think you have become an arsehole. They think, oh my God, what an idiot. But it's not even about a smugness.
It's not personal. So do you think we go through waves of loneliness in life?
Yeah, I think so. It's not only about like feeling okay within yourself, but it's about also who you're surrounded by. It's not even a case of whether there are more people around you, then you feel less lonely. And if there are less people, then you feel more lonely. Because I actually feel that it can be quite opposite for me, in that sometimes when I'm around lots of people constantly, a lot of people that I don't like, say,
the difference between you becomes more extreme when you're confronted with it.
It becomes so transparent. And I think, God, I am more alone here because I just don't relate.
Yeah.
Because I think it's not even about having like loads of people in your life. Because we had a thing on the story that was saying, is it about quality or quantity? And obviously everyone, quality, quality, quality. It's the simplest trick in the book. But does that reflect reality? There is definitely an idea that we all think, oh yeah, quality over quantity. But also have the quantity of acquaintances, definitely. Is definitely seen as a needed thing.
I agree. I think people, even when they think they've got to a point where they don't give a shit about what anyone thinks of them is probably the point in their life where they're performing the most.
It's so hard to not give a shit. It's so hard to live authentically and not give a fuck. There's no blueprint for that. We haven't really seen a blueprint for that, or the only blueprints we've seen of that are women that are looked at as mental.
Yeah, burn at the stake.
Yeah, we've seen them die for this. Women that don't give a shit and blah, 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 and are independent are looked at as maniacs by society. So you obviously don't really want to emulate that. So another message that I really, really, really loved, there were so many, but this is another one that stood out to me, talking about fake friends and almost a way to avoid that loneliness feeling of you're in a group and you just feel like, fuck these guys.
Who the fuck are these people? Yeah.
Yeah, or just when you find yourself surrounded by a load of fake people and you're like, oh, Jesus Ooh. Christ, what have I done to myself? Which I think that is one of the main causes of loneliness. It's not even like, I have no one to text. It's like, shit, I'm texting fake people, which is what miles worse.
I'm with the wrong people. Yeah, it's so true. So freaking true.
Yeah, so they said...
Take it away.
They said, I do a full screening before befriending people, even my acquaintances. And I think a full screening is exactly what is necessary. I think that is clever, clever, clever. I would love to see her tactics.
Yeah, so true.
Have you ever done that? Like a kind of, okay, well, if you're going to be my friend, I need to kind of...
I think I am like one of those people that's really, like, I don't really consciously screen. Like, I don't go through like a process with people.
Yeah.
It's rare that I'll meet someone and be like, yeah, you can come right in. Come on in and get to know all my shit.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I will not even keep people at a distance. Like, I'm really nice and friendly. Like, I'm very warm with people. I think that's the problem. It takes a while for me to feel like you have to kind of prove yourself, and me to you as well. Like, I'm not an amazing friend. Like, I'm kind of very absent.
Not to me. I'm like, are you?
It's not to you. I'm knocking on your door every day like, can I hear your voice?
Couldn't be more present.
But I just don't, and I'm not fussed about the numbers. And I've also been always one of those people where it's like you have a lot of people around you, but then even within that group, you'll have like the one or two that's like really kind of, you're going to die for them.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't have to, but like it's all out, like very much on the same team. And I think it's very rare that I keep, I mean, there's a handful of people on my team.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes when you think the people are on your team, it will keep shifting continuously. And we know.
You might think someone is on your team, but really they were just on their own team.
Really, no. They were playing on the opposite team. That is probably really common. It's probably just the most common thing ever.
So common.
I definitely think with screening people, it's not a conscious thing of like, okay, I'm going to go through your social media and track down your ex-boyfriend. Do I want to be friends with this person?
I think it is more of a conscious, or it could be more of a conscious thing.
But I think life and moving through with just relationships in general is just a constant act of screening, of just you are weighing up, are you worth having, are you trustworthy? Like, I see the way you speak about your other friends.
Yeah,
that's a process of screening. I don't want to be in that club of someone that you talk about in that way.
Mm-hmm.
The way that you engage with people is a permanent act of screening, of like, okay, well, I'll keep you at a distance, okay, you can come in a bit, and you know, that just a natural way of like letting your boundaries down, putting them up, is just relationships.
Very true. Yeah, I completely, completely agree. Have you ever let someone in and then been like, oh, that's too much, need to get you back out a bit?
Always. After all this time, always.
With me? You're thinking, God, I'm pretty deep in now. How am I gonna get this one out?
With my personality, people often think, oh my God, we're getting so deep into conversation. And I've had it quite a few times where I'm talking to someone and they go, my God, we always just get in such deep conversations, don't we? And I think, did we? Was that like, did yeah. we? Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
That was small talk. I'm so sorry that we were on different levels, but that was not a deep conversation. I think maybe it's because that kind of conversation is boring, of oh, like blah, 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 blah. And I would rather get into kind of like, how did you feel when your parents left you? Like, kind of proper conversation. Like, I just think that is real meaty like stuff. And then I think that kind of gives people the illusion that we're close. Whereas that to me, I think both of us have it. That to us is just normal conversation, probably enhanced by the fact that we go pretty deep every week with a load of strangers on the internet.
Yeah,
I think people think it's like, God, we just get into these conversations as if that's kind of our special connection. It's like, wow, we do this together. It's like, We really don't.
To them, it's really bonding.
Yeah, so it's the idea that you're kind of really open and really blah, 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 and people therefore interpret that as vulnerability of like, you are an open book, but it's like, actually, no, I'm a pretty closed book, but I'm happy to talk about those conversations because those aren't secrets to me.
I think I'm similar in the way that I make people feel like they can tell me anything, and I haven't said a thing.
You're a scammer.
I'm a big time scammer. I'm a master manipulator. Yeah. But I didn't mean to. But also I did mean to, because I want you to like me and I want you to feel like you can trust me, which you can for the most part, until I come to roast you on my podcast.
when I've been engaging in just like, to be honest, just conversation, basic standard conversation, and other people have interpreted that as like a meaningful deep conversation, that I've found myself with people thinking they're closer to me and kind of divulging info that I just don't want to hear. Like it's just too much for the closeness of, for how close they are to me. They're not in my inner circle, and it's like, oh Jesus, okay. So yeah, I definitely think I've had to have boundaries of like, okay, let's keep people at bay.
The problem with keeping people at bay is often we're in situations where we're at uni and we're living with people, or we're working with people, we're going to see them every day, we're going to school with someone, blah 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 blah, or the friendship has been established for so many years. Lots of people saying things like that. It's like when it's been established that you both know what to expect from this relationship, but for some reason you are wanting to push them out slightly, that's so hard to navigate. But I think it comes down to ultimately choosing yourself, don't you? Because that's the only choice. It's either you choose them or you just choose yourself and move on.
I think it's about prioritizing your own journey. Like, I know that sounds so woohoo, but it's like, you may have a special bond to a friend, like I have a special bond with you. So we kind of think, okay, we're on the same journey. Like, we must be totally aligned at all points, but
always think the same.
Yeah, but there'll be points where we'll stray from each other and do different things as well. Mm-hmm. But it's about prioritizing your own journey and realizing that it's not always going to align.
Well, also, I think it's about going back to the ego thing of wanting them to have their own journey as well. I think when you are actually in a real balanced friendship with someone, or real balanced relationship with someone, you start to think less about whether they are prioritizing you and whether they're your number one and whether you can claim them, and more about kind of if they're okay, if they're having a good time, if there's something you can do for them, those sorts of things, to make it like a real and productive relationship.
Yeah, totally. Because otherwise you're just centering yourself in the thing of like, why haven't they messaged me? And you haven't thought that, oh well, actually it was the anniversary of something traumatic that happened in their life recently.
They've got a full and complex life way beyond your existence. Yeah,
people are busy and people aren't centering you in their lives, and they're on their own hashtag journey, they're on their own path. But I also think there was something, this came up quite a lot, that people were saying that they have kind of special bonds to people that they met at a certain point in their lives, i.e. the first person they met at university, they have a special connection with that person, and it's almost like they can't let them go because it's like, oh my god, we met this time, or the first person I met at primary school, and therefore we must be friends forever, because you want that narrative,
you were bonded in that experience.
And I think that definitely happens in like romantic relationships quite a lot of, like, we met at this specific point, so we must stay together forever.
You start sharing trauma. A shared trauma isn't
romance or isn't a bond. That's one of the huge things that people were saying, like, well, we met at this point and then I had this narrative that we'll always be friends and therefore we must fight through this thing. I think there's something about letting go for a bit, and even if it's not like you have to fall out, but it's like you're actually just in different places at the moment. Losing friends is so traumatic. Like, it is so traumatic. Or redefining your boundaries with people that were close to you is so traumatic and so heartbreaking,
like a breakup.
But it is just a part of life. Yeah, it's a full breakup,
full-on breakup, sometimes far more intense than a breakup.
Yeah, because you assume they're going to be there forever.
Because I think with romantic relationships, you preempt the breakup. You're kind of, even if you're secure, you think about the fact that this could end and they might not be in your life. Whereas with a friendship, you kind of become friends with someone and never think about how that's going to end.
Yeah, I've definitely had like friendship quite recently, like friendship redefining stuff going on. And it is such a trauma. Mm. It's such a horrific thing, especially when they're like key players in your life. And I think there is something about allowing things to flow in their own way and just like hoping that you can come together again in some way when there have been some like changes that have gone on, and not putting this pressure on the idea that you must stay completely aligned at all times on the same path, and just knowing that your paths can be parallel. But I completely get that it's a fucking lonely feeling when your friendships start breaking down.
Especially if it is kind of not just fizzling out, it's kind of collapsing before your eyes.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking kind of... It's literally just like a heartbreaking feeling.
What's the advice for that? Just prioritise yourself?
My advice is communicate, because there's nothing worse than replaying a situation in your head where you wished you'd communicated more, or you wish, oh, I wish I could say this to that person. I think the key is, God, I really feel like I'm speaking from the heart.
Yeah.
But I think it is so painful. I think my advice is just be genuine. Don't let ego get in the way. Don't let any of those stupid insecurities or jealousy get in the way. Just speak. I heard a bit of advice recently that I really think is so true, that it's really easy to feel wronged in your life. Like, it's very easy to view yourself as the most innocent person, that you have been wronged by the world. And I don't like that, because I've got a preoccupation with weakness. Like, I don't like to feel that anyone has done me wrong, and I would rather accept that I'm fully in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard that most sort of fallouts or most disagreements, if you just assume, whether this is not the case, whether this is the case or not, that if you just assume that it's 50-50, that you are 50% to blame and they are 50% to blame, you can kind of work out from there. You can kind of see clearly what the fuck ups were on both ends, yeah. Rather than thinking, oh, because nothing is as black and white.
It's a process.
Yeah, it's just not as black and white as they fucked up so much or I fucked up so much. It's just about viewing it with nuance, with clarity.
Mm.
And I think that is how you can form foundations, even if they are changed forever.
I agree. I also think with the communication thing, it can be hard, and that no matter how prepared and clear and fair you think you're being with your communication, if they are not on the same wavelength, if they're not prepared to meet you in that communication, it won't work, and there is only so much you can do with some people with where they are at that moment.
Yeah, that's almost the point where you not give up or like pack it in, but just kind of think,
let the universe take its course. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're going and going and going, and they just cannot see it halfway, and they will not meet you with communication, I mean, that surely is one of the most painful things, because you are giving and it's just not being received in any way.
Well, sometimes no matter how much you try to reason with someone, they can't see your perspective. Like, they will refuse to see, and that is a very isolating experience, particularly when that person was very like fundamental in your life. It's sad, isn't it? I think there are going to be lots of people though listening thinking like, God,
this is very relevant.
so true, relatable content.
Life is fucking a heavy thing.
You know what I was watching last night? Living with Yourself. You know that Paul Rudd thing? Came out fucking yonks ago.
No. Oh yeah, I do know that. Where there's two of him. And is Selena Gomez in that?
No. Selena Gomez is in the other thing with him, which is called something about sadness, or like a caring. Fundamentals of Caring, I think.
Fundamentals of Caring.
Yeah.
Yeah, random. I never watched that. Weird duo.
Really random. Yeah, really weird.
Paul Rudd and Selena Gomez.
Even weirder duo, Paul Rudd and Paul Rudd.
Yeah, exactly. Really the crossover. No one asked for
in Living with Yourself. But there was a line in it where someone's talking to him and they go, so life, huh? And he's just like, yeah, I guess. But it's so true.
Yeah,
fucking life.
Life, huh?
And the worst thing about life is everyone's having this life problem attack them, and no one's communicating it. So we all think that we're having this life problem happen solely to us, and we're all on our own, isolated.
Well, this is one of the things that I think is so funny, especially with having this podcast, that we get people messaging like, this is going on, like, what should I do? And almost holding us on a pedestal of people that don't suffer, almost, like, that we are empowered, therefore we do not suffer. And I just want to shatter that all over the fucking ground and say...
Descartes.
No. Yeah, literally. Shatter.
I am empowered.
That it's like, we are empowered, but I think it's empowered to be upset and things like that. I want to smash to smithereens the idea that we are not struggling in our own whatever. It's like, we totally have insecurities, we totally have egos, we're fucked as well, guys.
Yeah, so true. I've been thinking about that a lot recently. This takes it really dark, but I've been thinking about how we present. We've had a lot of input, someone wanted input about how we present with Seffy and Wing, and the things that we're showing versus the reality, and etc, etc. And I mean, Seffy knows, I've been so, over the course of the rebrand, I've been so fucked. Like, I've got some sort of major health condition that we won't get into.
She's in major pain right now. She needs to get to A&E ASAP.
I'm in severe pain. I'm dosed up. Like, if you think I've been weird, honestly, same. And I've been thinking about how, I mean, so I haven't really been on social media in the same way. And I've been thinking about my absence, because that's just a joke in itself, is that I think I'm important enough that I'm absent now, as if anyone's noticed. But also in the way that I'm fucking posting relaunch videos of us like chit-chatting, everything great. Literally when I'm like fucking high as a kite, in chronic pain,
yeah,
dosed up, like bedbound, like crying, like haven't stopped crying, haven't slept a wink, haven't slept in 2 weeks. Like, and yet no one would know, because social media is fake. So it's just madness. And so I think a lot as well about, I would love to know what you guys think, and Sophie, I would love to know what you think, because I think you and I have different perspectives on this as well, in like whatever, we both have nuanced views because we're human beings. But I always love someone online more, actually I love people more when I see them cry, when I see them be real, when I feel like they've been open. This is why I try and get people to be open with me.
When you feel like you know them and you can see yourself in them.
When I feel like they've let me in, exactly. Not to be dark, but Ariana Grande, what made me like her? I hate to say it, but anyone remember Manchester?
Yeah.
Seeing her in a state, seeing this trauma happen to her and the way that she then handled herself and the way that she just came back from that with her sadness, but very empowered and very strong. Do I like Ariana Grande because I like Ariana Grande, or do I like her because I saw her say no tears left to cry and I thought, yeah, I've been crying too, now I love you?
Yeah.
Do I like you, or do I like myself when I'm projecting myself onto you? And this is what I say about you guys listening. Do you like us, or are you seeing the parts of yourself in us, and so you think you like us, but you actually just like yourself?
Well, for example, with Ariana Grande, you see an aspirational version of your own suffering. So you see...
God.
You see someone that's sad, and you see someone that is a bit fucked up, like all humans are, but you see them do it with a very long-standing ponytail and a very little outfit, and you think, oh, well, she's doing it stunningly.
Yeah, but I don't think that's what makes me like her. No, I don't think it's she's doing it stunningly.
You like the sadness.
Yeah, I'm drawn to people's inner like workings, like people's sadness.
Totally, yeah.
And when influencers get on, and when like a fucking YouTuber will put up like a 20-minute video and they start crying halfway through because they've been having such a hard time and they're struggling and they're like, I didn't know if I should post this. I used to always think, why would you not post this? Everyone needs to see this. I love it. So I love it, love it, love it. I want to see it, blah, blah, blah. But then half the other people are like, this is so self-indulgent. And I think as I've gotten older, I've realized that I think differently to those people, and that people think that it's self-indulgent to just talk about the realities of life. I get how influencers can be self-indulgent 100%, but I just always think people sharing their sadness is the most important thing about life. And I was just shocked to find out that not everyone, I don't know.
I completely agree. I 100% love, this is why I'm on a new Emma Chamberlain kick, and I love her podcast more than anything, because it's kind of just an hour and a half of her rambling about how sad she is, to be honest. And I love it because it's so human and it's so like just fascinating. Also, she's just so charismatic. You can just listen to her talk for hours. That's just a promo for Emma Chamberlain.
As if no one's heard of her.
Like Emma, type in E-M-M-A.
She's a really small underground influencer.
But yeah, I completely agree. I love hearing about people's struggles because you can see a bit of yourself in it, and you can see, okay, so they had a very similar thing. That means I can get through it as well in that way. But I also think from the perspective of our performance in that way, or the performance of having some kind of platform and then feeling that you have to place like all of your stuff on there rather than just like, you know, the palatable bits of like, okay, here's us talking as friends. Like, for example, on the day of the rebrand, you were in chronic pain. I fucking FaceTimed my sister at the end of the night crying, and she was like, oh God, you would never think this from Instagram. And it's like, yeah, no, you wouldn't, would you? Because it's all a lie. And it isn't a lie, because this is real.
It's just a part of it. Yeah, it's just a part of being a human being.
It's not a lie, but it's not representative. Like, to think it's representative is so wrong.
Well, it's not a lie, but it's not the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Because how can you give the whole truth of your, literally your 23 years of life on an hour a week? You can't. But I think also going back to Ariana Grande, it's not because I see the sadness and think that it's aspirational. That world is so inherently formulaic and fake that her sadness was nothing but real. And that feels like a breath of fresh air. And I just think I just navigate this world constantly looking for realness.
Yeah.
Also, I'm not the realest person ever. I'm absolutely not. I just crave real real.
Reality. Authenticity.
Because I just think, yeah, we're all fucking fake. And I would rather honestly have absolutely nothing and no one than be fake.
Than be surrounded by fakeness.
Be surrounded by fake.
That is one of the most lonely and isolating feelings of all time. Realizing that the life you've built around you is made of fucking dust. Like, it is just not there. And there are no strong foundations to it. That's what I mean by I don't feel lonely necessarily on my own. And I feel lonely when I'm in a group of people that I just think, this is fucking vapid. This is so false. And that doesn't mean to say my friends are like that. But you know, when you just look around, and you just think, what is this?
When you find yourself in those groups, yeah.
When you somehow stumble into a group and you just think, fucking hell, get me out of here. This is awful. And yeah, I think that's why we do strive for, we do seek authenticity in kind of public figures and YouTubers and Ariana Grande and Lady Gaga's documentary, which changed my life for some reason. I have no stake in Lady Gaga. Don't have really many feelings about her. When I watched that documentary, I was in love.
Yeah.
Same as Demi Lovato's. Every documentary I watch where I see a bit of reality.
Yeah. Oh, there's celebrity documentary. Katy Perry getting dumped before she goes up on stage with her fucking cream pie boobs.
Life changing.
Fucking microphone in hand. Oh.
To be honest, to see the humanity in people that you think of as cartoons.
Yeah. Life changing. Or that people that have to conform with
perfection.
Such a facade. Yeah.
Especially as we've got little cartoon figures. When you listen to this, you're seeing our little cartoon figure faces. Potentially it could be this kind of cartoonish idea of female empowerment, of living your amazing life, and actually the reality is it's a fucking journey,
and that's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's a fucking journey. There are bits that are really great,
but it's not all pretty,
and there are bits that are really not great, and it's about trying to find a way that in this fucked up world you can have empowerment, you can feel good about yourself and not lean into kind of nightmarish situations by going for a toxic boy and things like that.
Something I actually wanted to talk about, I put on the story and asked, do you often feel lonely? 76% of people said yes. I wasn't surprised. Then I asked, are your friends lonely?
Yeah, I thought this was an interesting question from you.
And only 58% of people said yes. Don't you find that interesting?
Yeah, I do. Because it just shows that perception is everything. We think that we're the only ones feeling sad. And also it's funny because it's like, you voted I'm lonely but my friends are not lonely, but your friend who also listens voted that they are lonely but you are not lonely.
I was literally gonna say, yeah,
it's just so funny. Yeah,
it's just classic, isn't it? But the way that we isolate ourselves, but it's not intentional, it's just because society made us feel like
we're alone,
we have to suffer in silence, kind of things have to be private. And yet we all complain about the way that social media is so curated and like only a celebration and a highlight reel of the positives. But it's like, yeah, but none of us want to share the negatives because we've been made to feel like we can't.
And we've been made to feel that it's embarrassing.
And to be honest, if someone went around sharing the negatives, it would be straight in a group chat, getting slandered. They'd be getting slated. It's embarrassing, apparently.
Exactly. It's like just now we've just said, oh, we're not perfect. And everyone's like, oh, well, they're not interesting now. They're not perfect. And it's like, oh, God, okay.
Yeah.
I would love to know. Let us know if you're drawn to kind of an more authentic thing, or you just want a performance, because I totally go to different people if I want authenticity or if I want a performance. And maybe we fall into the performance category.
Even if I wanted a perform, even if I came to someone from a performance, I would never say no to something authentic and sad and real. Not that all things that are authentic are sad. I get that happiness is also authentic. But do you get what I mean? I think even if I signed up to someone because I thought they were so aspirational and perfect, them saying, oh, I've really been struggling, I would never be mad about it.
Yeah.
I would never think, oh, so self-indulgent of you. I think, yeah, too right. You're a human being. Of course you feel down sometimes. What did you thought? I thought that you were perfect. That's embarrassing. God, like, you thought everyone here thought you never get sad. That's embarrassing. Like, of course you do.
I think I've thought that people think we're grey, which we are.
We know the reality, but it's just hard to accept, I think.
We had a great revelation the other day. You said this, actually, and it was so stunning. We were on the phone and we were talking. I don't even know if you remember this, but we were like, remember that. It's so good.
I do remember. Is it because I was drunk? I basically got drunk to numb the pain. When I say it's getting bad, like,
we phoned. Erin was kind of drunk calling me at like kind of 11. I was watching The Walking Dead. I was like, I won't say no to a phone call right now. We were talking about jealousy. This is what our drunk calls are about. Oh, they're not about, God. Oh my God, did you see that fucking, that guy? Just like, we're like, so let's discuss the topic of jealousy.
off air.
Off
air. I think it's important for us to talk about things and get on the same page without an audience, just so we can get out the shit and then deliver kind of refined, polished shits on here.
Yes, exactly. And also it's like, we do have a friendship other than recording, so we do actually just talk in life anyway. And we were talking about jealousy, and we were talking about, I mean, do you want to say your amazing point?
No, you say it.
Well, you said that it's like, it's not even jealousy that is toxic, it's the shame around jealousy that makes it toxic. Because if you could just say to your friend, I am jealous of you, that in itself is not inherently toxic, it's not destroying. But what makes it worse?
That's a problem we can solve. We can unpack that. Yeah,
it's so human. What makes it problematic and what kills friendships and kills dynamics essentially is when someone is feeling jealous and they don't say anything, and they place shame and shame and shame upon themselves, and it comes out in lashes and bites and like big old fucking crocodiles, like, ah, you did this. And it's like, that is actually what kills something, rather than, I'm feeling jealous of this thing that's just happened. It's like, okay, well, I felt jealous of you because of this thing. And
yeah, let's just get to the other side of it.
You can talk and you can fix things.
It's so true. So true, if I do say so myself.
It's so clever. And I think that is exactly the problem with, I mean, we say it all the time, miscommunication is the fucking apocalypse. We don't say that itself, but we say that miscommunication does not help. Communication is everything.
I reckon people, like, jealousy is just one thing. Like, you can be jealous of someone and not realize that you're jealous because you're just feeling kind of a bit resentful and just down in yourself, and you're just a bit angry and bitter. And so if you actually took it, this is why people need to take a second and actually take stock of their own feelings. If you thought for a second, like, okay, why am I feeling this way? Just interrogate that for literally 2 seconds. You might come to the conclusion that it's because of jealousy, and then bring it up.
It's about refining your emotions and your feelings. So if you think, I was annoyed because that person copied my outfit or something like that. Okay, so you were annoyed. Were you angry? Then you take it to the next level. Okay, I was angry. Why was I angry? Because I wanted to wear that. Oh, okay, I was jealous. Like, you can distill things further.
Because I wanted to make sure that I was seen in it when I went to that thing, and that guy that I know who's going to be there, blah, blah, blah. It always comes back, to be honest, to ego.
Most of the problems that come up in relationships and come up with even loneliness, fake friends, all of this stuff that we're talking about today, it does come down to our big fat egos that we just want to be perceived as the best.
We just want to be liked.
We just want to be the most liked, but liked above everybody else, like kind of placed on a pedestal. But then also you crave authenticity. So you're kind of in this endless loop of wanting to be seen as the best, but also be wanting that real connection. And then it's like, you can't have both.
And you're never going to get it.
Always pick the genuine.
Yeah, but it's so true. You'll never feel the validation that you're looking for. Remember that stunning affirmation? I've said this to you, Sarah.
I don't think I've said it.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. I don't think I've said it on the podcast. Here it is. Take it away. Get your notebooks out. Open the notes app in your phone and write this down.
And say this to yourself every morning, which, I mean, we do anyway, but just say it.
When I heard this, it blew my mind. Blew my little nut off, honestly. So it goes.
And it blew my nut off. And then I was listening to an affirmations track and I heard it.
Yeah, when I referred her to it. And it came up.
And I was like, oh my God, this is the one.
It's meant to be. So you listening to this now, is you mean it. You were meant to hear this. Okay, watch me butcher it. They say, some may say, a wise woman once said.
Some woman on a YouTube video once said.
Everything that I desire from others, I give to myself right now. Everything that I desire from others.
No, you're butchering it. It's not that. It's everything that I once desired from others, I give to myself now.
Yes.
Crucially now.
Now.
In this moment.
Now. Right now. In this instance.
So it's like, you once desired, okay, distill it down. You once desired a boyfriend. Okay, so you desired connection. You desired a feeling of worthiness, love. Okay, so you give that to yourself now.
Now. Now.
Powerful. You once desired to be a what? Size 6, whatever. Okay, so you felt you wanted to feel comfortable in your body. You wanted to feel affirmed.
You wanted to be desired. Okay, desire yourself right now.
Shivers. It's life-changing.
Everything you want, all that validation you want from everyone else, just give it to yourself now. I'll give it to you. Message us. I'll give it to you.
No, get it. No. Don't get it from us. Get it from yourself.
But get it from yourself.
it really breaks down all of that stuff of everything that you once desired. Think of what you would see in that mirror of error said. What would you once have desired? You're holding the Quidditch World Cup. Blah, 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 blah. Give it to yourself right now.
But also it stops you wasting time.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
It cuts the crap.
Because you will never get what you desire from others. Ever. No matter what you've got, you will always want something more, something new, something on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Until you just decide to give everything you need to yourself. Oh, stunning.
I think affirmations are so powerful. Like, they are so cringy. They are so dreadful when you're listening to these, like, YouTube fucking tracks. They're so cringe. If you can move past, like, the embarrassment of saying out loud, I am resourceful. I am, like, if you can move past the absolute embarrassment and just hope that fucking no one ever hears you, there is so much power in telling yourself positive things. I think it is about rewiring your brain.
So true. I was gonna say, we normally do like a affirmation session before the podcast, but we didn't today.
Yeah, we forgot.
We fucking sat and just like complained about so many things.
Oh my god, probably why we're being so negative in this one, because usually we even made a point when we were on the phone yesterday, probably for the fifth time.
Yeah,
we were like, tomorrow before we record, let's go through, we'll do a round of gratefulness. I think we even said three rounds of gratitude, like, of I am grateful.
Let's make sure we do a gratefulness. Well, should we do it now then?
On air? Goodness gracious me. On air, okay.
Yeah, go on. We've done it before. You said your earrings last time.
Oh yeah, we have done it before. Okay, let me get out my book.
And you can do it with us.
Let me think. Went for a really nice meal last night. Was very yummy food, very nice, very good.
What did you eat?
What did I eat? It was kind of, well, so I'm in Portugal. There isn't much to eat that's vegan. So this place has two vegan options.
That's pretty good.
There was tofu or like a vegan sausage, and I weirdly went for the tofu, which I would never really do. But it was really nice. It was kind of like a sort of Japanese-y vibe.
I had a black spleen. I had a black bean tofu the other day, and it was really good.
Yeah, so good. So good. It's just nice when you've been eating kind of Portuguese, not that yummy food.
All the Portuguese listeners are crying.
Well, Lisbon and stuff is nice, obviously. I mean the middle of nowhere.
She's truly in the middle of nowhere, yeah.
I mean, I'm in the hills right now.
She's in midsummer.
And can I just explain, I'm not here on my, like, my dad lives here. Like, I'm not just kind of in a tent. This is also, my family live here.
Okay, I'm grateful for, I was gonna say one, but I felt like I needed to make mine better, but
I know, go on.
You know, actually I've got one. I'm grateful for my dog.
Yeah, I'm grateful for your dog.
Because as boring as it is to hear about other people's dogs, I do love my dog, so you have to hear about it, sorry. And also just so nice, like, especially when I haven't been feeling well, it's so nice to, literally, he just wants to like cuddle me all day. You know what I realise is quite sad though? I do this thing where, and I really did it the other day when I was feeling quite bad. We've said this before, when you're like hugging your dog or kind of your dog or like your pet, I'll say cat too, well, whatever, your pet, we'll do a big like, a sigh, and you kind of say back to them, I know. That's what I say to my dog. The other day, he did a big sigh and I went, I know. And I cupped his face and I said, you are my whole world. And that was when I thought, right, I'm taking this too fucking far.
It's so embarrassing, the stuff people say to their pets.
Looked him in the eye and said, you are my whole world.
And he said, I don't even know your name.
He's like, what the fuck did you just say to me? He's like, get dressed, pull yourself together and get out of here.
You just give me food. I don't have any feelings about you whatsoever.
So anyway, that's my gratefulness.
That's why I love people's deluded relationships with their animals. And absolutely. I have it too with my dog as well. Kind of a complete delusion.
Project.
A complete projection of, you are my whole world. And that's how I 100% felt that with my cat Quentin specifically. You are my whole world. And he's thinking, you're my third owner, bitch. Like, I've been rescued loads of times. You're nothing to me. You're a speck on my timeline.
Oh my god.
He's like, you call me Quentin. When you got me, your name was Snickers from the rescue centre. But I've had many names here, bitch. Stop projecting your love of Quentin Tarantino onto me.
I have evolved before you and I will evolve after you beyond your time.
You are nothing to me. So can you stop projecting your weird sort of Quentin Tarantino fetish onto a cat?
I love it.
Yeah. We also wanted to start a new thing, didn't we?
Yeah, so I think this episode has told us all, well, it's definitely told me, that we should really be vocal about how you feel, I feel. And so I think with the mood of loneliness, shall we do a thing where we text someone that we've been meaning to text, send the message that you've been meaning to send, reach out to the person that you haven't been good enough to, etc., etc., don't you think?
I think so. I think with this new season, I think we want to start a bit more of an active thing. Like we're it's not enough to be listening to a podcast and just being, yeah, I'm improving myself. But how are we actively doing that? As in, what are you going to do? You're going to listen to an episode on loneliness, then you're going to go mope? Like, no, I don't think so.
No mope zone. Well, sometimes mope.
No mopes. Nope to the mope. That is the new saying. We're saying nope to the mope, guys.
That cuts through my heart. As a tried and tested moper, as a self-proclaimed moper.
Mope lifestyle.
The moper of Moperville. That kind of hurts. But yeah.
I think if we're trying to live this fucking ice cream lifestyle of this new era of Seffy and Wing, of just like living
as ourselves,
expanding our worlds, doing the most and learning, we need to be more active. So I think we're going to maybe try and we'll feedback next week. I think at the end of the episodes, we might start a bit of a thing.
Yeah, if anyone's still listening.
Well, we give you a little challenge. Do share it on Instagram if you see it. But shall we both do it ourselves as well? We need to text someone.
Shotgun, I'm texting you.
No, it has to be someone. And also, big preface, this is not your opportunity to text your ex or some fucking guy that treated you badly.
Yeah.
This is a chance to text someone that you've been meaning from your heart, not from your ego, from your heart, to reach out to. Or you think that you're just thinking about them and you want to just say something to them. I think let's all fucking do it.
I love that.
We're building authentic relationships.
Yeah.
We're expanding ourselves.
Isn't that nice?
I don't even have any ideas of what I'm going to text.
No, but I'm excited to find out.
Not even text. You can email them.
That's quite good.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, it can be just a way of reaching out. Ring them. You can do anything. Go and post a little note through the door. Message in a bottle. Anything you want.
God, that's quite romantic.
I've got some ideas, actually.
Why don't you do that with me? Why don't you ever send me messages in a bottle? Kind of give a message to a pigeon and let it come to me.
Carrier pigeon. World War II. Or World War One, I don't know which one used pigeons.
Let's do that.
Let's all do that. So if everyone's thinking now who they're going to text, no toxic people, please.
I really am thinking as if it's homework. Also, you lot can get away with it. I have to come back next week with my answer. I don't know what the fuck I'm going to say.
We need receipts of what we've done. Also, I'd love to see your receipts. Send them in, or better still, because we fucking love the promo, put it on your story. Because will the person see it and be like, why have you put my text on the fucking story? You did this for a podcast.
It's all about authenticity. And then it all comes back to social media curating your highlight reel.
They're like, why did you share that on your story?
But what you can do, actually, is if you enjoyed this podcast, please review it as usual and tell your friends. So many of you say that you found us through your amazing friends, and we've just been complaining about how lonely we are. So definitely be a good friend, pay on the favor, and pass us on to someone who you think would love us, or is kind of the empowered vibes. Send them our way. We'd love to meet them.
We truly would. We truly, or they would love to meet us, you know. I'm not keen to expand my circle too much further. They can have us. That'll be fine.
I really, really hope you've liked this podcast. I hope you feel quite seen and heard.
And I feel a bit seen and heard. I feel a bit naked and exposed.
Yeah, a bit exposed, actually. Yeah, well, I hope it pays off anyway.
We're getting used to it. It's all good. We're getting used to just being a bit Kylie Jenner. So it's fine.
Right, I need to get out of here before kind of I explode. Okay.
Well, you're in like severe pain, so you need to go to sleep.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.